Open your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want to continue our series and our study we've been doing in this book. It's been a blessing to me to go back and read some of these things again, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the book as well. And John is, as I said, he talks in black and white. He says it like it needs to be said, and sometimes that kind of offends us a little bit, but I believe we need that kind of voice for us today. I wanted to begin and read in verse 1 and reread up to verse 5. We're going to be covering verse 5 today, but we'll start back in verse 1. Verses 1 through 4 is sometimes called the prologue of 1 John. I know when we think of the prologue of John, we think of the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. But John kind of gives some very similar themes and messages here in verses 1 through 4, so sometimes it's also called the prologue of 1 John. And I want to read from verses 1 to 5, and then we'll have prayer and begin our message this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him. All those things in verses 1 through 4, what we've heard, what we've seen, the message that we're declaring, here it is in a nutshell in verse number 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The title of the message this morning is God is Light, a Factor in Fellowship. A Factor in Fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We want to thank you that it's so clear. And I pray, Lord, that you would remove from our understanding and our minds and our hearts anything that clouds the ability of the objective word of God to speak to us. Lord, remove our subjective feelings, our tendencies, our thought patterns, our philosophies, our presuppositions, so that we can come face to face with the power of your word and that we can adjust and change, Lord, to be conformed to the image of your Son. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We pray that he would guide the message. We thank you that he illuminates our hearts and he shows us the truth and makes it understandable unto us. And we praise you for this now. In Christ's name, amen. Now, having finished the prologue to his epistle, as we said, John continues to begin elaborating on the fellowship that he introduced here. He talked back in verse number 3 about having fellowship with us. We kind of talked about that this morning already. And he's going to continue to talk about this eyewitness account that I had, how I related that to you now as readers at a later time. Even though we haven't seen Jesus Christ, we haven't, as John did in verse 1, we haven't looked upon, we haven't touched, we haven't handled and heard the word of life. But yet through the descriptions and the accounts that John is writing, the eyewitness accounts that he gives and testifies of, we can have that same knowledge. We can be face to face with the same truth that John is giving and that he had as well. Remember that even though we haven't understood or seen clearly Jesus Christ like face to face as John did, yet we can understand the same knowledge that John had. Remember, he's counteracting the Gnostics, this group that came in and said, oh, we can have a special elite, special understanding and knowledge that nobody else has. It was a heresy at the end of the first century here. And John is clear in saying that we all have access to the same knowledge. John says, yes, I was an apostle. Yes, I was a disciple. Yes, I walked with Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make me any more special than you or I today. We all have access to the same revelation, the same knowledge that John had is right here before us in God's Word. We can come to know the same Jesus Christ that John knew. We can come to understand the same truths about him and the things that John's going to share as well with us, because John is going to convey those things and God has revealed them to us. And so there, John is saying, we're not some special little elite group, but we're all believing in the same Lord, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. What an incredible thought here that, as John has said, we can have something in common with a great Creator God. We can have fellowship with the Father, one who has created this earth, one who is holy, one who is unlike anything on this earth, one who is completely righteous, and yet we as human beings, as created creatures, through Jesus Christ, we can have something in common. And that is the holiness of our Savior. That is the righteousness of Christ. God is righteous. God is holy. But yet through Jesus Christ, we are given that same righteousness, that same holiness, and that is the common ground that we can then have this fellowship with God the Father. If Christ was not there providing that righteousness and holiness, there is no way that you or I would ever be able to enjoy this fellowship with a great Creator God in heaven that has done so many wonderful things. What a powerful, what a humbling truth that we need to realize this morning. Now, what is this knowledge? What is this witness that John saw that he talked about in the prologue? What is the what we have seen and heard declare we unto you from verse number 3? What is John talking about here? He now begins to kind of enlighten that and expound upon it as he's going to continue through the book. Here in verse number 5, the basic message is that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I tell you, but before we get into that, one of the basic things that we must understand, if we ever desire to have fellowship with God, if we ever desire to know him, is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, we don't like to talk about that. That's a separating issue, isn't it? That God is light and there's nothing mixed up in there with him that will kind of distort that light. There's not one little ounce of darkness in it, as we're going to talk about this morning. And man does not like to talk about that. Well, that's better than I am. That's something that I'm not. Well, John is making the clear, bold, as I said, the black and white statement. God's light. Don't try to mix him up with your philosophies, your ideas, maybe some system that the world has concocted there and kind of, well, God is light, but he can also be like this. We kind of twist things around. There is no darkness at all in him. If we deny that truth, if we don't accept that truth, then we will never understand what it means to have fellowship with him. Because we must understand something at first. He is light. There's no darkness. And yet, what are we? We're unholy. We're sinful. There is darkness in this world and in us. And if there is not something done about my darkness, if there's not something done about my sinfulness, then I cannot have fellowship with the God who is all and completely light. And there is no darkness at all in him. And as we said, Jesus Christ is the one who has provided the means for us to gain the righteousness, the holiness, so that, yes, I'm a sinful creature. I'm dark. But through Jesus Christ, I can have holiness. I can have the righteousness. I can be acceptable to the God of light who does not accept any form of darkness whatsoever. Now, this is the message, verse number 5, that we have heard of him. The word for message here is kind of a similar word to the Greek word euangelion. I know we hear the word euangelion. It literally means good news, and that's sometimes translated as gospel. That's the gospel. It's good news. Euangelion. Well, this word is angelia, which is very similar to that, but what it literally means is the sum and substance, the complete total message that was received and then transmitted. Now, get what John is saying here. Now, he's saying, I received a message. I witnessed a message. I saw Jesus Christ, but now I am going to transmit this message. I'm going to tell others about this message that I've seen and heard. In other words, if you were to take all the summary of what Christ gave, of what he taught to John, this word is, what is the sum and summary, the totality of the message? You can summarize it in that one phrase, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. As I said, that should be the foundational understanding of God. He is completely different than we are on this earth. There's no darkness. He is completely and purely light. Now, the verb used in verse number 5, the message that we have heard of him, which we have heard. This is the perfect tense. And I know we've talked a lot about the perfect tense in our messages from the book of 1 John. But it means that John heard this message, and yet what he heard continues to ring in his ears up to the present point. John says, I can't even forget this message, that it had such a great impact on me, that when I heard this message that God is light, it totally transformed my thinking. And it affected me to such an extent that to the present hour, I am still walking in with this God of light. That's the impact of this message that it had with me. Now, notice also the source of the message. This then is the message that we have heard and we continue to hear of him. Now, grammatically speaking, the last antecedent was the end of verse 3, which was his son, Jesus Christ. In other words, John is saying the message, the totality, the summary of what I heard and am now going to declare unto you from Jesus Christ is this simple phrase that God is light. Now, this is a message concerning the very nature of God. So I think it's very important that John said, we have heard it of him. John didn't say, I heard it from me. I kind of deduced it after viewing God. Or, you know, me and the apostles kind of got together and we talked about it and we came up with this idea. We kind of came up, no, John is not saying this is not self-concocted, but this message, since it has to do with the divine nature of God, there is no way that it could come from me. It was heard of him, Jesus Christ. There is a divine source here. In other words, listen to this now. John is saying, what I'm telling you about God the Father, what I'm telling you about Jesus Christ is not a discovery. It's not a discovery. It's a revelation. God has revealed this to me. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to us. He has declared the Father. The word that we have before us is the revelation of God to us. It is not something that we just kind of discover and happen to fall upon or stumble upon. These are facts about the very nature of God, and it can only come from the divine source. Now remember just simply what revelation is. It's the unveiling of a truth to me which I could not have known any other way. Is there any way that we in our human, perverted, sinful minds would have concluded the fact that God is light? No, we would have never concluded that. We don't like to talk about that. We don't like to talk about something so pure and holy that it contrasts me so greatly. But here, God is light. It was revealed. I would never have known that if Jesus Christ had not revealed it to me. This is not a subjective discovery. But John is saying, what I'm telling you is an objective and an authoritative revelation from Jesus Christ. Now notice, this is the message that we've heard of him. And now we are, I'm declaring this unto you. This word in the Greek literally has the idea of I'm announcing it. I'm proclaiming it. I can't hold my tongue any longer. I have to give out this message and proclaim it. The message that the apostles received is now to be repeated, announced again for the benefit of others. As I said already, John didn't hold this special thing where, you know, I've got this special knowledge about Jesus Christ, the special enlightenment that I witnessed when I was with him on the earth, and I'm not going to share that knowledge with anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody about that. No, it was his commission, so to speak. He knew it was his responsibility. He could not hold his tongue back to share what Jesus Christ has revealed to him so that others can have that same benefit, that same enjoyment of fellowship. You know, the temptation for us humanly, so many times it's kind of naturally, we kind of keep special insider knowledge to ourselves. We kind of get a superiority complex about it a little bit, you know. Well, I know how to do that right there. And if I tell anybody else how to do it, then they won't need me anymore. You know, we kind of get sometimes get that mentality a little bit. John is saying, we don't have that. We're not going to have some special that we're not going to tell anybody in our elitist club about Jesus Christ. No, he wants to proclaim it, declare it, announce it to those around him. This is not John's heart to hide things, but he wants you and I today, how many years, 2,000 years after, he still wants you and I to know the same things that he knew and were revealed to him about Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, John goes on to state the message. What is the message? The summary of the revelation, the key that will bring the fellowship with God the Father is summed up in this small phrase, God is light. Now notice very carefully, John did not describe God as light in the adjective form. In the Greek, there is no article. You know, we have articles like the or a or an or whatever. There's no such article existent in the Greek when it says God is light. And in the Greek, that has the idea that it is in the position of the predicate nominative. Now, I'm going to break some English minds here. Some of you kids out there are like, oh, no, not grammar. That was 2 months ago, and I still got another month of summer left. Don't pull the grammar out on me. But we know the difference between a predicate adjective and a predicate nominative. A predicate adjective does what? It describes the subject. What does a predicate nominative do? Leah? Renames the subject. In other words, they are one and the same. So here in the Greek, the word light is in the position of the predicate nominative. In other words, God is not simply, you know, described as light. No, God is light. It is his nature. They are one and the same. He's describing the very nature and essence of God. I thought back, I remember last summer we did a series on the I Ams of Christ in the book of John. Very similar kind of idea here that, remember, when Christ says, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world, I am the true vine, all those different things. He's describing what he in his essential nature is. Same kind of context here in idea that John is using. It is not a God that simply possesses light, or even a God that just simply gives the light, even though he does. But here the emphasis is that God in his nature is light. Now, if you think about the prologue of John, why don't you hold your finger in 1 John and just flip back to John chapter 1. Just turn back to John chapter 1 and hold your finger there in 1 John. This is such a powerful truth that John emphasizes it over and over and over again. Just simply in the first 18 verses of his gospel, he mentions it several times. Look at John chapter 1. Look quickly at some of these. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. Look in verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It could not overtake it, could not overcome it. Verses 7 through 8. The same came for a witness, John, to bear witness of the what? Of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So many times here, John is emphasizing light. God is light. The light was manifested. The light shined in darkness. The darkness couldn't overcome it, couldn't comprehend it. And now this light is lighting and is available to all men to see that this is Jesus Christ. This is God. This is the light. So clearly, this is not a description, but it is an actual characteristic of God. In his essence, God is light. Now, through Christ, this light has been revealed to us. And that's what John in his prologue was bringing out. Now, if you think about, you know, even just the Old Testament manifestations of God, it was a light that couldn't be approached. Think about how people were afraid of God, how they feared seeing God. You know, you read about different men, maybe like Gideon, who, oh, I came face to face with God, and they were fearful for their lives and things. They feared that since I saw God, I can't live. God was something that was kind of unapproachable, and the light of his nature was something afar off. Even to Moses, God said, you can't see my glory. But he put him in the little cleft of the rock, and he passed through, and he got to see the back part of the light and glory of God. It was something that was revered. It was something that was feared. But now, through Jesus Christ, that light is no longer to be unapproachable. It has actually been brought down to us. We, as people in this world today, can look and understand Christ and know we have the light of Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear and think it's something unapproachable anymore. All men can have fellowship with the Father because of the light of Jesus Christ. He revealed it. He declared it and has manifested it unto us. Now, I wanted to talk for a few minutes this morning about what does it mean. You know, we can say God is light. Well, what kind of things are included in that? I did some study and I saw some different variety of commentaries that gave a few things. I kind of summarized them up into 5 points about what does it mean that God is light? What does it mean? Well, if you think about it in just a general sense, we understand that the light of God simply means that it's holiness and illumination. Those are a very simple thing. It's the flawless perfection of God and yet his illuminating power into darkness, how God reveals himself as well. But here, I'm going to go through some 5 things here that what does it mean to us that God is light? First of all, it means that God is splendor and glory. God is splendor and glory. His glory and splendor radiate from him. It's like an incredible blaze or whatever you want to put there, a radiant light. I'm going to read a couple passages here. Just hold on for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is a familiar verse. When I read it, you'll recognize it. Look in chapter 6, verse 16. Just listen. He's talking about the King of Kings who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. His glory here, he's one that dwells in unapproachable light. In other words, his glory, it cannot be attained. We fall so short of his glory. We look at the glory of God, the holiness, the perfection of God, and yet we see how far we are from it. It is splendor and it is glory. This is the glory that we talked about with Exodus chapter 33 with Moses, who wanted to see the face of God, but God said, no man can see my face and live. It's my glory. It's my splendor. Man cannot handle to see those things. The radiant splendor, glory of God is pictured in this light. You know, another familiar verse comes into mind. What about Revelation chapter 21? In the holy city, is there need of any light? It said, there's no need of light there. Why? For the glory of God illumines the city. His glory is so powerful and great that it is as a shining, radiant light. It's full of splendor. This is the eternal glory of God that radiates in his light. When you think of God as light, remember that he is all glorious. He is all glorious. Secondly, God is light shows us that God is self-revealing. We've kind of alluded to that already, that God reveals to us what he is. through Jesus Christ. You know, what is the main characteristics of light? You know, if you turn all the lights off in here and draw the blinds or whatever, you can't see anything. But when you turn the light on, what? You see. The main characteristic of light is that it is something that is seen and enables sight. God is light, indicating that He has a desire for us to see Him. Now, doesn't that just kind of humble you for a little bit there? That here's the great Creator God, full of splendor, full of glory. We can't achieve or attain that glory, yet through Christ, God desires to reveal Himself to mankind. So we can see, so we can understand who God is. He doesn't want us to remain in the darkness, kind of groping around for what we hope is the truth. Through the light that God has revealed, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the truth is. God wants us to see, and therefore He is light. There's a couple verses. I'm going to read them. Don't turn there. Job chapter 33 says, "When man repents, God will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." God wants man to see that light. And it says that when we repent, God's going to deliver us and we will see. Micah chapter 7 says, "He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness." God wants us to see the righteousness and holiness that He has. Thirdly, not only is God all glorious, not only is He self-revealing, but thirdly, God is light means He is pure and holy. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but God is pure, radiant light. That light is unattained by any darkness or any evil. It says the darkness comprehended it not in the book of John. There is even, as with a familiar verse here, James chapter 1, verse 17 says that all good things come down from the Father of lights, and there is no variation or shifting shadows or no variableness of turning in God. Not even a shadow. It's all pure and perfect light, indicating that God is holy. He is free from even the slightest imperfection, the slightest thing that would kind of cloud that light or hinder that light or put a shadow on that light. God is a pure and holy God. Number four, another reason that God is light is that God brings guidance to us as mankind. Oh, we could look at so many numerous verses. I started kind of looking at a few in the book of Psalms, and I realized, wow, there are verse after verse after verse just in the book of Psalms about God's light and how He guides us. I'm just going to give you a few. Chapter 18 of the book of Psalms, verse 28, "For Thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Chapter 43, verse 3, "O send out Thy light and Thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto Thy holy hill and to Thy tabernacles." I'm going to tell you, if you're not following the light that God has revealed, you're not going to reach His holy hill. You're not going to reach His tabernacles. It is said, "Send out Thy light, send out Thy truth, let them lead me." Well, what's leading our lives today? What's leading our lives this morning? Is it the things that we've put up, the things we focus on, whatever it can be? I'm telling you, if we're not allowing the light of God's Word that He's revealed to lead us, and real quick, if the light is going to lead us, where do we have to be? If Jesus is light and He's leading, where do we have to be? Out in front of Him, blocking the light? Is that where we need to be? We need to be in the back, allowing the Lord to go, making the light shine, and we can see the pathway. I tell you, so many times we jump out in the lead and we run ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I've got this, Lord. You just stay back. I'm gonna take care of this one." And then we fall off into a ditch somewhere and end up with a broken neck and have all the consequences that can come from that. God is light, and He wants us to see with His leading. Psalm 56 says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" That is what the Lord wants to do for us. He doesn't want us to stay in darkness. He doesn't want us to stay in our sin. But I tell you, so many times, here we are, I know Jesus, you know, I profess to know Christ, but I'm going to cloud my life up with my sin. I'm going to cloud my life with the things that I just can't let go. We're not going to let the Lord lead us. We're going to what? Our feet are going to fall. We're going to trip and fall. We're going to go to the wrong direction. We're going to enter back into the darkness. Why? Because God is all light, and there's no darkness at all in Him. No darkness. And when we bring darkness into our life, what is the God of light going to have to do? He's not going to have that darkness associated with Him or fellowshipping with Him. God is light, and He desires to light up our path. You know, the path of the believer, Christ said it's a narrow way. It's a straight way. Don't you think you need a light if you're walking on a little tiny path? Every time I think about that, I think back when I went to Bolivia. We were at the church in Anocaraide, which is a very poor, poverty area of Bolivia, outside of the city of Cochabamba, about an hour away. And Pastor Ruben there has another church that he started. We went there for Sunday night, and I know I've told you this before, but I had to go to the restroom really bad. I know Mr. Brainerd and I, we love traveling together because we can stop every 10 minutes. You know, we have kind of some issues with that, I guess. I don't know. But, driving in a car for 30 minutes, all right, I got to go to the restroom. And so Lucas is like, oh, I take you to the bathroom, no problem. And so he took me down to this, here's a big tall building, and here's a big tall building, and it's pitch black outside, and there's a little hallway this wide between the two buildings. Come on, I take you to the bathroom. And so I'm like, stepping on garbage and all kinds of stuff, and my shoes are nasty. And we got all the way down there, couldn't see a thing, groping around, about to get lost, and oh, they closed this bathroom. We could go back now. Oh, great. Thank you. Well, I always think about this. It was a narrow little path. Without light, it was very difficult. We were stumbling and our feet were turning around and all kinds of crazy stuff. That is the Christian life. The way of the Lord is a narrow path. If you don't have the light of Jesus Christ lighting that pathway, if you're trying to kind of step out in front, Lord, I'm gonna take the charge here. Yep, we're gonna trip and fall. Trip and fall on that pathway. But here, when the light of God leads us, we stay behind the leader. We allow His light to show the way. And instead of projecting ourselves in the front and blocking the light and bringing a shadow to the light that's going to make the pathway obscure, maybe even lead us to the wrong path. God is light, and He guides those who follow Him. He guides those who follow Him, put their trust in Him. Then finally, God is light indicates that things are revealed in His presence. Things are revealed in His presence. I tell you, you can hide a great deal by, turning down the light or, pulling the shades down or something. You can hide a lot of stuff. Man loves to cover up flaws. He loves to cover up anything, the makeup and all those things. We got to cover our physical appearances, and we cover all the problems that we have the best we can. Does this make me look fat this morning? Did I cover it up okay? We love to cover our flaws. I remember in painting, Bob can probably attest to this. In painting new construction, we always hated it when they had these really huge windows. These massive windows, and here you've got this smooth ceiling. And if you don't paint that thing just right, what's going to happen? All that light's going to come in through that window, and you'll see, oh, there's a, holiday there, and there's a missed spot over there. Or you look down the wall, and you see all the sheetrock mistakes and things like that because of all the light that is present. Light shows up what? It shows up flaws. It shows up problems. It shows up errors. And man is a master what? He's a master cover-up artist. He thinks that ever since man fell in the garden, what we're trying to do, get the leaves out, we're going to cover this up. We're going to take care of this. Man loves to cover up the problems. He loves to cover up the flaws. He hides in the garden. God doesn't cover. God reveals. God reveals. Man loves the darkness because of his sin. This verse has always been powerful to me. John chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to this verse in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than what? Light. Because why? Their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. Oh, don't show up my flaws. Don't reprove me. How dare you? That's what God is. That's what this book is. It shows you your darkness. And man loves to cover up the flaw, but God is light. And if there's going to be fellowship with God, He's going to uncover the flaw. He's going to uncover the sin so that that can be taken care of with Jesus Christ, and then we can fellowship with the Father. Don't try to come to God of light with all your sin. Don't hang on to all your baggage and carry your bags with you. I'm going to keep these, and I'm going to go right in here, and I'm going to fellowship with God. He's going to uncover it. He's going to reveal it. He wants it to be remedied, but we fight against it. We fight against God's light when He tries to reveal our sin. We bring up, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. No, I would never do that. And we stop and think about our dirty old rotten hearts, and yes, we do that. And yes, we did that. But we can't stand admitting the flaw. We got to cover it. But God the light is the revealer. Be sure your sin will what? Find you out. Man has been forever of all time trying to hide those things. We love our sin too much. But God is a revealing light. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I'll read that verse as well if you don't want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 4, again, a very familiar verse. Chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden. Everything is open and visible to God. Why? Because he's light. You can't hide your sin from God. Or you can hide it from, you know, people in the church. Or you can hide it from mom and dad. You can hide it from your brother and sister. You can even have a little pact with your brothers and sisters that, you know, you don't tell on me and I won't tell on you. You know, I remember doing that when I was a kid. You know, I'm sure we've heard of those stories. Or we're in school together. Well, I won't tell the teacher if you don't tell what I, you know, all those little things. And we what? We're hiding. We're making our plans and manipulating to hide things. And yet, if you just stop and think about the foolishness of it, because why? Nothing is hidden from a God who is light. Nothing's hidden from him. He already knows. And yet we're so worried about hiding something from somebody. And yet God looks down and he's like, I wonder sometimes if he shakes his head at us, what are they trying to do? You know, Adam, where art thou? In the garden. And he's over there, you know, making his fig leaf coat and hiding things up. But God already knew. He already knew. All things are open to him. He is a revealer. He reveals himself in light, but he also is a revealer of things. This is the power of the God who is light. He's all glorious. He's holy. But he wants us to see that light. I'm thankful this morning that he didn't leave us in darkness. That he didn't just let us, I don't have to give them a revelation. I don't have to send them Jesus Christ. I don't have to make a revelation to these people. They can kind of keep struggling around in their darkness. But God didn't do that. He wants us to know his light. He wants it to shine through the darkness that we so often have with our sin. But man hates the light. It's because of our sinful hearts, as we read in John chapter 3. Man tries to diminish. Yeah, here's the light, and we're going to diminish it. We're going to dilute it. We're going to kind of shade down the light as much as possible. And I tell you, even today, this is why God's Word is diminished. We talked about it last Sunday night, about the authority of this book. Why is it diminished? Because we love our sin. It's diminished because we can't stand the fact that this book is light and that it reveals things. Oh, so we got to dilute it. We got to change it. We got to water it down. Well, that doesn't really mean that. We put our presuppositions in there, and then we continue on our life and thinking everything is okay. You know, the world today, even the showing up of the sin of the world. So what do they try to do? Take away the Christians. Take away the Bible. Remove the authority of God's Word, and you won't have that light showing everybody's flaws. That's why our country is headed the way it is. We've taken the book out of everything. We don't like the Christians. You know, everybody else has free speech except Christians. We got to shut them up. They're light. They got to be quiet. We don't want that light shining around here in this darkness. They think they have their own self-light. Now, just as in the days in which John was writing here, remember the heresies and the people he was encountering. So many times they had this system of the light and darkness and these demigods that emanated from them that we talked about with Gnosticism, and how there was eventually a God that was half dark and half light. And that is why John continues in verse 5 to say, at the end, a very adamant statement as we close this morning, in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. Living in darkness, now listen, living in darkness is not compatible with fellowship with God. Oh, I want fellowship with God. And let me continue living my life of darkness and sin. They're not compatible. John, as I said, it's black and white. It's going to hurt your feelings. It's going to make you upset. Living in darkness is not compatible with the fellowship with God. When we go our way, when we step out of the light, when we do our own thing, then we can't see. As an unbeliever, even, don't think you can do the deeds of darkness and walk around in darkness and then, oh, I can claim fellowship. Everybody claims to love Jesus. Everybody claims to know Jesus, and they're walking in darkness. And John says, if you're walking in darkness, look at verse 6. We haven't gotten there yet, but if we say we have fellowship with him, I have fellowship with Jesus, and we walk in darkness, we what? We lie. We lie. How dare he say that? Who does John think he is? I can hear if John came to preach today, we'd probably throw him out of the church. I don't know what we would do. But he just said it like it was. And people are going to get angry and they're going to get upset because you're attacking my darkness. You're attacking my sin that I'm trying to hide from everybody. It's not compatible with fellowship with God. Now, in John's day, this God that is described in verse 5 was a great contrast to the gods of the culture. Now, you think about the Greek and Roman culture. Think about all the mythological gods they had. You ever read about them or heard about them and things? What were they? They were gods that what? They committed human vices. Now, does that make sense? Here's the gods of the culture of that day that were, they were, you know, in adultery and lying and cheating. I read a commentary that said this. They had gods that could cheat and lie. They had gods licentious and unchaste, gods spiteful and malignant towards men, quarrelsome and abusive. They had been accustomed to think of the Godhead as a mixed nature like their own. That's what the Greeks and Romans did. We have a mixed nature. You know, we can do good sometimes, but yet we do bad. We'll make our gods be just like us. And so John's saying, contrary to what the Romans are teaching, contrary to the mythological stories of the day, and no matter what Homer and the Iliad and all that mess, whatever they wrote, who cares about that? John is saying, listen, this God is different than all of them. Why? Because there is no darkness at all in him. Imagine the readers of this book. Wow, we've never heard this from the culture. We've never heard this from the politicians. This is a God that has no darkness? What a superior God. I tell you, man always makes a God that is more like himself, or a glorified humanity. Romans chapter 1, they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into the image of corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and crawling creatures. We love to bring God down like humanity, but John is saying we don't serve a God like that. We don't fellowship with a God like that. This is a God of light. And in him is no darkness at all. I had a few points here that I was going to give about darkness. What does darkness stand for? I'll just go through them kind of quickly. Just five things. Darkness means there's a Christless life. Ephesians chapter 5. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. I tell you, we have a disconnect somewhere. I'm going to claim to be in Christ, and I'm going to claim to be following God, but now I'm still in my darkness. Well, Ephesians 5 says we were sometimes darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. That's hard for us to do. God has called us, 1 Peter 2, out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're without Christ this morning, you are in darkness. Oh, you can try to manufacture all the light you want to see your way, but if you are without Christ, you are in darkness. Quickly, another thing that darkness is ignorance and wandering. John chapter 12, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. You're ignorant. You have no guidance. Another thing that darkness is chaos and confusion. Just think back to the creation. After creating the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The form and void there in the Greek, the Hebrew, has the idea of confusion. Chaos, it's the word tohu in the Hebrew. Chaos, confusion. If you're in the darkness, if you're without Christ, then you're in a state of confusion. Oh, you may have tried to organize your life. You may have everything all in a row and ready to go. And you think by the worldly means, you've got it down. Without God, you're in a state of confusion. Another thing is unfruitfulness. Ephesians chapter 5, the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, darkness hinders and hampers the growth of plants, doesn't it? You know, throw your flowers in the closet and see how long they live. Without the light, there's no fruit. There's no growth. And if we're in darkness, we're not going to have any fruit spiritually. We won't be able to win people to the Lord. We won't be able to have those fruit and the life of spirituality. And then finally, just quickly close with this. What does ultimately darkness mean? Now, this is the most important one. It means separation from God. Remember, God is light. It's a factor in fellowship. If there is darkness, then there is a separation from God. There are several verses that indicate that one who is the enemy of God will be in darkness for eternity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're the enemies of God. 2 Peter 2, 9, Jude 13. Let me read Jude 13 real quick to you. He's talking about these men that have perverted things religiously, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What does that mean? Separated from God who is light. Separated from God. I tell you, the blackness of darkness is reserved, and darkness symbolizes a separation from God. Don't take your dark sin and come lollygagging up to God like it's no big deal. Hey, God, accept me the way I am. He will not do it. There is no compatibility with your sin and your darkness with a God who is light. He won't accept it. This is the beginning of the message that John is giving about the fellowship of God. Walking in darkness is not fellowship with God. It is actually separation from Him. I don't care what you claim. I don't care what words you talk. I don't care, you know, all the things that we like to say. If you're walking in darkness, you are not in fellowship with God. But knowing the light of Christ, walking as He leads so that we see the light, we know the way, that's the way of the believer who is trusting in Christ. I pray this morning, if there's a young person here, an old person, I don't care what age you are, if you're still continuing in your little darkness and in your sin, you don't have fellowship with the Father. You need to come to a God who has revealed Himself. But I'm telling you what, in revealing Himself, He's going to reveal what you are. Can you handle that? Can you accept that? Where God shows me how bad I really am, or how awful, how far short of His glory I actually am. It's disturbing to accept it and to come to grips with it, but there's a remedy. It's in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, us old dark, hopeless creatures can actually be light. Mind-boggling that a great God would do that for us, and yet thumb our nose at it. You going to do that this morning, young person? You going to walk out this door and continue your darkness? God doesn't care. I've got my whole life to live. It doesn't matter. I'll get it straightened out one time later. The God who is light has extended mercy to us. He didn't have to reveal Himself. He didn't have to. Yet He chose to do so, and we can come to Christ and be accepted by a God who is all light. Father, I want to thank You this morning for Jesus Christ. Lord, we would be so hopeless without Him. We'd still be in darkness. We would think we were okay, and we'd still be stumbling around and wouldn't even know it. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word, that God is light. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've brought in darkness and thought we were okay, and Lord, You convict us. You show us Your light, and we go back and run back and flee to Christ and flee to His arms and repent of our sins, and You just accept us and You wash us, Lord. Thank You so much for the work of Jesus Christ. And the fellowship that we can have, even though we're sinful, we can be declared righteous and holy. And we can be made lights of the world, as Christ said. And we can also tell others about the light and the God who is light. Thank You, Father, for Your truth this morning. I pray You'd convict our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.